Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or just trying to make life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Today I talked to Kathy Downer, one of the city councilors of Ward 5. Above and beyond being a Guelph city councilor, though, Downer has recently been acclaimed to the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, or AMO, and she's on the board of directors there for a second term as member of the Large Urban Caucus. We often hear about AMO, which is made up of members from Ontario's municipal governments who all participate in various ways, but what exactly does AMO do? How big is its influence? Why does Guelph having a seat at the table matter? These questions and more are the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. So what is AMO? According to its website, AMO is a nonprofit organization representing almost all of Ontario's 444 municipal governments. AMO supports strong and effective municipal government in Ontario and promotes the value of municipal government as a vital and essential component of Ontario and Canada's political system. Cool, but what does AMO do? Again, the website says that AMO develops policy positions and reports on issues of general interest to municipal governments. It conducts ongoing liaison with the provincial government's elected and non-elected representatives. It informs and educates governments, the media, and the public on municipal issues, markets innovative and beneficial services to the municipal sector, and maintains a resource center on issues of municipal interest. Those include infrastructure, funding, transit, housing, bylaws, and regulations, even the implementation of Ontario's cannabis legalization strategy. They've got their hands in a lot of pies, in other words. But does anything become of these ideas and advocacy? With Councillor Downer's reappointment to the AMO board, it seemed like a good time to tackle these thoughts and questions, so I invited her to come on the show. So on this week's Guelph Politicast, I talk to Councillor Downer about the who, why, and how of AMO. We talk about which issues AMO is looking at, whether their advocacy has an impact, and what that impact might look like now that there's a new provincial government in Queen's Park, which has already taken steps to cancel funding in a few municipal grants. We also talk about how consensus is reached between the nearly 444 municipalities that cover the big, wide geographic space that is Ontario, and we talk about what might be coming out of next month's AMO conference in Ottawa. Before we begin, though, I thought I would offer just a brief word about equal time. I know that we're in an election period right now. Nominations close on Friday, which means the campaign more or less will be underway, even if we won't see actual election signs until September. I don't want this podcast to be seen as an endorsement of Kathy Downer's candidacy for re-election. Her purpose here is to speak as one of the present city councillors and as a representative of AMO. So other than the general, I try to avoid any specific campaign questions on particular issues. So having said that, I caught up with Kathy Downer earlier this week in studio. So Kathy Downer, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So we're here to talk about the Association of Municipalities of Ontario. Mm-hmm. Can you start with just, you know, from your own point of view, explaining what AMO is and how it works and just the general mechanics of AMO?
Sure. So, you know, it actually dates back to 1899. Just to give
really?
That was sort of the first time there was sort of an association of municipalities. Municipalities thought that, you know, the power of more than one would be effective, right? Because mm-hmm. municipalities are creatures of the province. And it's taken a number of, changes over that time. And back then it was just known, I think, as an Ontario Municipal Association. And then it changed and there were fractions that went off. There was a rural association. And then they sort of all came together. I think it was in the 70s. And
yeah, that's where the website begins.
Mm-hmm. That's where the website. But if you look at all the the past presidents, it goes back to 1899.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's really impressive. So in the 1970s, they came together and to form a rather powerful lobby to the provincial government, to sort of wanting to have a say at the table about issues that impact municipalities, which is pretty well everything the province does.
Yeah.
And then I think it was, I'm not sure if it was 2001. I think it was 2001, or maybe it might have been even earlier. But there became sort of an agreement with the provincial government, a memorandum of understanding, where now the province sort of has a duty to consult with AAMO. And that consultation takes place in a number of ways. We're, you know, sort of one-on-one with our president and our executive director, or we do papers. We have a whole staff of policy, great policy advisors, really impressive. I've been really impressed with that. And as I said, a number of like delegations to different ministers. But, you know, they have a duty to consult now with AAMO, and I don't expect that to change in the near future. But, you know, how much they listen to AAMO is sort of, you know, a big thing. I mean, AAMO's had 15 years of a pretty good relationship with the past provincial government. Not that they did everything that we wanted, but, no. But, you know, there was, and, you know, there was, you know, a lot of, some of our policy people went to work for the province. So there was a pretty good good relationship. So, and basically their mandate is to advocate on behalf of municipalities to the province on all, you know, policies and initiatives that they're bringing forward, and to add to that dialogue to ensure that we have a voice at the table. And that's not easy. I'll just sort of say, with 444 municipalities, right, all with very unique interests, like what's important in James Bay is not what's important in Guelph. So they have quite a mighty task.
I was going to say, I was going to ask about that. We, you know, it's not all 444 municipalities, but it's most of them. Am I right about that? So, but you're right. What matters in, you know, the northwestern areas of the province aren't what matter in the southeastern areas of the province, or even, you know, differences one town over even. So what does consensus building look like when you have 444 people around a table? Is there consensus? Like, I imagine there is consensus because the AAMO still goes on, but you know how is that different from being around a table with 13 people?
It's much more complex in that there are different views. So the it's a 43 members on the board, and it's divided up into what's called caucus. So I'm part of the large urban caucus. So there's six of us. From various large cities. There's a small town, there's Northern Ontario, there's rural, there's the regional, you know, there's all these different caucuses. So, you know, there may be sort of agreement within the caucuses, but then we all got to come together and sort of hash out agreement. And, you know, it's surprising that the policies that come to us from the, you know, from our staff, it seemed to sort of encompass everything across. So if you're responding to initiatives, you know, from the province, it's usually impacts, you know, their response usually impacts everyone well, differently, but they sort of include it in there because there's just things like when I co-chaired the digital task force. So, you know, the biggest issue in Northern Ontario is internet access. I mean, basically, you know, and not only that, and then the capacity to deal with the transformation, right? Whereas a city like Guelph, we're sort of ahead of the game, right?
Right.
So it's interesting. So you sort of include all of that in the recommendations to the province that, you know, we need to build capacity in certain areas and we need to share with, you know, it's not just policies to the government, but it's how can we help each other? So how can a place like Guelph or Kitchener, how can we, like, put out information to our you know, sister municipalities to help them through that transformation?
Yeah, the internet thing is huge because I hear that complaint. You probably hear that complaint too, that people can't find the information that they're looking for. They feel like it's not reaching them. And I know the city does a lot on its website and through its social media feeds. But, you know, that doesn't matter if you don't have internet access. I mean, even my business, too, you know,
you're
going
right.
paperless. And, you know, it's hard to just look at what's going on in your community if the news source is a website and not
That's
a newspaper.
Right. That's right.
Having said all that, then, what kind of a difference do you think that AMO makes in terms of advocating for these things? Is it the plurality, you know, speaking instead of 444 voices, it's, you know, it's one voice? Or is it like being able to distill or find those commonalities in the issues? Because, again, infrastructure needs in Guelph aren't the same as infrastructure issues in North Bay, but we both have infrastructure issues.
Well, that's it. I mean, we both have infrastructure needs. So the, you know, up north, it's bridges and the miles and miles of roads, right? Mm. For us, it's sidewalks and stuff, stuff like that. But I mean, but even in the county, it's bridges, right? I mean, they're very expensive. So one thing we did around the infrastructure, what we're speaking on that, I mean, the AMO did come up with a position to, you know, lobbying in this provincial election for the 1% share of the HST. And that was about allocating infrastructure funds throughout the province to for the huge backlog. I think they calculated $4.9 billion a year in infrastructure shortfall. So, I mean, you're right. Their needs are different than ours, but it's an infrastructure gap. Mm-hmm. It still adds up to a significant amount of money across the province. So there are some issues, like the double hatter issue around firemen who work in a municipality and then volunteer in other municipalities.
Right.
If that wasn't the case, it would be very expensive for those municipalities. And so we've been advocating on that, around that issue as well. Mm-hmm. So there are some issues that don't impact as much, we take a collaborative stand towards helping helping the other municipalities with that too. So I do think the one voice of the 444 or however there is pretty strong with the province. I think it does have an influence.
I think there's a question too of how much of an influence too, because AMO did have that campaign, as you said, you know, to get that 1% of the HST, but the province, the last government in their position were, you know, hedging, and I doubt there will be much reception in the current government, but that's something that it would make sense. It seems straightforward, but you're asking a government that may not be ready to surrender 1% of a very lucrative revenue stream that the consensus does sometimes meet the political reality of a different government.
Yeah. Well, we thought about adding it on too. I mean, but as well as having that. But it's I don't know. Certainly, there was no party in the election that was going to campaign on increasing taxes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that, you know, that was our hard sell. But I mean, then the question is always to them: well, if you don't support this, what will you do for this backlog in the province? And none of them really answered that. Mm. Certainly the Liberal government was asked that a number of times. What Catherine Wynne at the AMO conference last year was asking, well, if you don't support this, then what's your solution? Mm. Because AMO went out and did consultation for 2 years on this issue, looking at various options of ways of having stable funding. And then they surveyed. They used Nick Nanos' company to survey Ontarians around the issue, mm-hmm. and it was the most favorable solution. Was to have it. It's transparent.
It's easy to understand too.
It's earmarked specifically to infrastructure, and each, like, Guelph would have. I forget what the numbers were. Guelph would be, like, in the former. They even had a formula about how it would be divided up.
No, I've seen that, and it's an impressive, you know, number that would certainly help our needs, which is in the tens of millions.
Mm-hmm.
But it hits that stone wall that I don't know if, you know, you mentioned that they did a survey and people are for it, but You know, I'm not sure what my question is here. But
I know. Like, so is it realistic? So yeah, I think at certainly at our last emo meeting at the end of June, it was, you know, we didn't get to what are we doing now with that issue. Mm-hmm. But certainly it'll be discussed at the conference in August, you know, so what's our next move? Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with all the work we've done? And also, you know, Nick Nanos is back doing his presentation on the voices, like what, you know, what people are saying about municipalities. So right. I don't know whether it'll include any of that, but it's always a fascinating. If you go back and watch it from last year, it's always fascinating. It's always it's on the website.
Well, we keep kind of tap dancing around the question, but you know, there has been a government shift in Queen's Park. It is a government that I don't think is as receptive to well, let's say, you know, government solutions, but you know, that's who AMO is going to be dealing with for 4 years. So is, first of all, what has, to your knowledge, what has the conversation been like so far? And mm-hmm. further to that, what is the plan when it comes to the conference?
Well, like I said, we've only had one meeting since then, and it was about having to change the conversation mm-hmm. with this government. I mean, the memorandum of understanding is still in place, so mm-hmm. they'll need to consult. So there's certainly some challenges, and you know, there may be some opportunities. The past government was very evidence based in their decision making. So you know, our policy people, those, you know, it was always working towards the evidence, right? Mm-hmm. So what was the evidence for making this decision? This government will be different. It's more populist. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the evidence around changing sex ed education? Where's the right. evidence around cap and trade, like taking away green programs? Like, I haven't seen it. But, you know, so it's more of it'll be more of a different kind of conversation. So we need to reframe our interests in a language that they can hear, I think, and just like we had to do for each, you know, you sort of, you know, I don't even necessarily mean that in a negative way. I think each changing government, you look at who your audience is to deliver your message, right? So AMO was looking at who is our audience, who are the ministers. On the positive note, many of them have come from a municipal background, mm-hmm. including Doug Ford himself.
Sure.
So they understand municipal government, and that's helpful. So, you know, we will see. At the conference, I don't think we've changed, like, you know, it was planned before the election. Mm-hmm. You know, and Guelph, we go and we delegate and meet with different ministers on interests that are for Guelph. So, and I usually attend that with the mayor and our intergovernmental affairs staff. So we will be having those discussions with the ministers again, and it'll be, you know, I'll sort of have a better idea after those meetings. And also, it'll be the first opportunity for us to hear, I think, from each of the parties. I'm not sure about the Liberals, but though I would think so, from each of the parties about how they're going to support municipalities. So we will be hearing, you know, what going forward. And for the first time, we'll have a fourth party. We'll have Mike Schreiner will be speaking as well, be able to allow to speak at the conference because mm-hmm. he has a seat. So I'm looking forward to that, you know, and I've already tried to been set up a meeting between AMO and Mike as well in town here.
He's tough guy to nail down. I speak from personal experience, but
you know, I think he's interested in AMO's and AMO's policies.
Oh no,
I know he might be. I haven't heard when the meeting is, but yeah.
I've seen Mike Schreiner more on TV in the last month than probably in the last 4 years combined. I mean, that's what my point is.
Well, one of the you know, AMO, like, looks, even though people say, well, he's one. You know, he's just one and he may not have an influence. I do think that he'll be a novelty for quite a while. And I think mm-hmm. that the press will go to Mike quite a bit for his thoughts on things. So that's an opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's how can he not be an influence, because it's a new factor in the equation that, you know, I think we can, no matter who is in charge, you can imagine what a PC politician is going to say. You can imagine what a Liberal politician is going to say. You can imagine what an NDP politician is going to say. But, you know, you've never had an elected Green in Ontario before. Mm-hmm. That's had to, you know, be accountable as an elected official.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting. I want to talk a bit about the conference itself, because there's no public portion of that. Is that right? There's no, like, I couldn't go in and sit down in on a, like, a presentation or something.
Surely there must be a way for non-members to register, like, okay. and come in. You'd have to register and go in.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of the actual government part of it, what does that look like? And what are you doing during that week at the conference?
Well, there's a lot of conferences. There's plenary sessions on different aspects of what's going on. Actually, I'm chairing one on greenhouse gas reduction for smart cities with Ottawa Hydro.
Okay.
So I'll be doing that one morning, and a lot of times, actually, I find the AMO conference it's interesting in that as a counselor, it's busy. Years ago, when I went to an AMO conference, and I got turned off from going from when I was on council before, because, you know, you'd go and you'd go to the plenary sessions and you'd come home and there was no preparation. And when I came back on council, we had these intergovernmental staff, right?
Mm.
And I thought, like, what's that all about? You know, I was thinking kind of negatively, like, you know, what's that? What do they do? And that was, like, I just can't imagine us without them. So now we go to the AMO conference, and they've lined up meetings with a number of ministers and their parliamentary assistants, and where we, you know, go in and you get your 15 minutes to have your say. So we've talked about the GID lens. We've talked about a number of issues that are important to Guelph. And so it's our chance to sort of to lobby and get in the ear. And we've had some really good follow-up and feedback from those as well.
Mm.
And so that's, you know, so I find that we're really busy with that. I have trouble getting to the plenary sessions I want to go to because we're busy meeting with ministers. And last year we had the great opportunity to also, I had been part of this other group before I went on AMO, the OMB reform working group,
right,
with other elected officials across the greater GTA, and we met with the minister then to talk about that as well. So it's a pretty busy week. it's a pretty busy week.
Is there added pressure, considering this is also an election year, for all the municipal politicians going? They're either stepping down or they're standing for re-election. So does that light any fires under you in terms of what's going on?
You know, it may be while you don't get as high attendance actually in election year because people are busy getting ready. But you know, I think it changes the conversation.
Mm.
Like, so there's sessions on the election, and certainly Nick Nanos his session will be really interesting because I think it's directly aligned towards, you know, being an election year. Last year he talked about, you know, the age of voter rage, and, you know, it was just, he was a fascinating discussion that he had then too. So, you know, there's a lot around that. A lot of issues that are discussed that are, you know, relevant. So I think it gives, it informs councillors and elected officials and mayors, you know, in a way that they can go back and talk to their constituents. It's also a place for the sharing of ideas. So, you know, they're doing this and you know, this is what we're doing and what can I bring back to Guelph? You know, that's sort of that whole, I've talked to Kingston a number of times about their transit service, and you know, those conversations are really quite interesting.
In terms of the other side of it, in terms of You sit on the large urban caucus, and it made a pretty big deal out of by the city that you are acclaimed to this position.
I guess it must have been a slow news day.
Right? It might have been. It might have been. But but you know, it does. I think it does put one in the mind that, you know, Guelph's not just taking or hearing from other voices. Guelph is taking a voice. Do you think it makes a difference that you sit on that board and that Guelph has maybe a seat at the table with maybe a better view than maybe other municipalities?
I think it does. I think it gives me sort of a more in-depth understanding of some of the policies that are coming down the pike and the way that AMO has viewed them. Though I found for the last 2 years, I feel like I've been getting my feet wet. So I haven't been, you know, really vocal in the Lord. You know, it's like when you join a new group, you know, you get the feel of it, right? And so but I think it's important that that cities at the time that I first was acclaimed, there wasn't any other cities from the south, from like our area, the KW area. There's a mayor from Brantford, but you know that our threesome, the Waterloo one, had stepped away. So I think it was important to have a voice there from this area, and you know I find that you know. Like it is, it's a big board, so there's a lot of interests, you're right, that don't align with us, so it's important to have voices there. It'll be interesting this time. A councillor from London has also been acclaimed to the board, so that's going to be, I'm sort of curious. It'll be great to be able to talk and interact with them.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I think it's been a lot. I think it was Councillor Pate was the last one who was ever on AMO board.
Okay. So... I wanted to ask specifically about this one thing, and we're recording on Monday, council meetings tonight, and there's a resolution on there from AMO about, you know...
NAFTA,
about making sure that statement of support for the province and the feds in terms of dealing with NAFTA. I'm wondering what is the... I don't want to say what is the point of that, but I'll say what is the point of that, because I think... It's understood that the governments, at least in Ontario, are in favor of NAFTA. And I think Guelph is particularly influenced by that, how many car part manufacturers we have here and how much advanced manufacturing we have here generally. But how does AMO's endorsement accentuate the government position at the higher levels on something like NAFTA?
I think it's important to speak up, right? So... Mm. And I think, I don't know if you read Liz Hasenfratz's article in The Globe, but she basically said that we all need to take a stand. And I've had a few emails about it too, actually, before they put the motion out there, that, you know, so what's Guelph going to do about this? This is a serious issue. Mm-hmm. So I think an endorsement of support for we stand with you, we want a fair trade, and this is really important to us, and we are willing, as an association of municipalities, to work with FCM, to work with the federal and provincial government, to let them know, that's the other part of the motion, sort of how we are being impacted by these tariffs. Mm-hmm. And that we're there to help and provide and support in any way possible. So I think it's good.
I think the cynical part, though, is just that, you know, is somebody like in the White House, like Larry Kudlow, for example. You know,
he doesn't care.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of getting at.
No, whether it makes a difference to anybody in the States, I kind of doubt. But
I think what we've seen, though, is that there's governors and the people on who are equal to, you know, cities in the States with their own manufacturing concerns and state governors who know that, you know, their re-election means keeping good jobs in the state. So that I think when we think of this issue, we automatically go all the way to 1600 Penn and the people who are working there. It's...
Mm-hmm. I don't think the motion's for them. I think the motion's for our own government to say, you know, you've got so many million people, these municipalities behind you, and I don't know that the municipalities will have an impact, but as Linda said, it's stay in silence, not really an option either. Mm. Like, she was told that she shouldn't speak out because, you know, Linamar might get some backlash from the president, and who knows, you know, with social media, what's happening now, right? whether my computer will get crashed. You know what, those, you know, you don't know. Like, so anyway, I doubt that. But, you know, I think she makes a point that shame on those that can, don't speak out.
Right. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Maybe to wrap up, what are the particular issues you think that are going to be dealt with at, maybe not just the conference, but that is ongoing at AMO this year? I mean, something like the OMB that has been reformed, and we're seeing how that plays out. I know that they're looking to how the government handles cannabis legalization.
It's been a big issue.
Yeah. So in terms of maybe the big issues or the small issues, you know, what do you think is going to come out of this year's conference?
I don't necessarily know whether it'll come out of the conference or not, certainly, but, you know, we do a lot of listening at the conference. But there, you know, again, the infrastructure gap, while Guelph has dealt with it with the 1% levy, mm-hmm. but, I mean, I think across the board, I think that's still going to be a big issue, a bone of contention at the conference with the government. I think the affordable housing strategy that the province and the feds have made some kind of an agreement going forward, and AMO will be involved in that. And I think affordable housing is becoming, in Southern Ontario, maybe not in some of the other jurisdictions, certainly becoming a major issue. So I think that will be some of the discussion coming out of there. Climate change, energy, you know, the changing face of hydro, like the small distributors like ours.
Mm. Which are all hot button topics for the new government.
They are. That's going to be a really hot button topic for them, right? Mm-hmm. So, and climate change, you know, so municipalities may have to shoulder more of the responsibility for dealing with that. Mm-hmm. And they've lost the funding for it at the same time. But it just makes sense from not just an environmental perspective, but from a financial perspective to deal with it as well.
Mm-hmm. Good time. Well,
I wish you could come to the conference with me. I think you'd have a great time listening to it. I'll tweet from it.
Maybe we could tag team, and I can go to some of those plenary sessions you can't go to and take notes for you.
Yes, that's good.
I think we might be violating lines of church and state, but that, you know,
that's
we'll,
right.
We'll talk
right.
after the show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Kathy, for your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And once again, that was Ward 5 City Councilor Kathy Downer, and you can learn more about AMO and its initiatives by visiting their website at amo.on.ca. The annual AMO conference is August the 19th through the 22nd in Ottawa, and there will surely be some interesting news coming out of that, so stay tuned. And that's all for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics, Ed Siddale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Sources Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at Adam A. Donaldson. You can go to the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/Guelph Politico. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. Until then, we will see you next time.